and welcome to a new episode of Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs. We are your hosts. I am Sarah.
Hello, I'm Ivan.
Hello, and it's just two of us today. Just in the nick of time. Jesus. We're having some beers. What are we drinking?
I don't know. What did you bring? Stone Citricado IPA. Stone Citricado Candace No Toronto. 20
años. Yeah, actually, it came in the
like
four-pack.
Citrusy or what?
Citricado? I don't know.
Is that Brazilian? Citricado?
Maybe. It's the 20-year anniversary brew.
It's good, though.
It's pretty
nice. I'm not a big Stone fan. I know everybody is, but I can't.
Really?
Not too much.
Oh.
But this is good, though.
Yeah, like no, this is pretty good.
I think the one I don't like is that one that you could get at the store, like a...
Oh, just the stone.
Is it the Arrogant?
The Arrogant Bastard?
Yeah.
I like that one.
I can't do it.
Oh, really?
It's too strong for me.
I like them strong.
I don't drink that much, so.
Strong and hard.
I like the horchata beer. Woo! That's good shit.
You know what? I haven't tried it, but yeah. I heard good things.
It's fucking amazing.
From the brewery, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
I take some and my panties will come right off. I can't hear myself. Like, I feel like... Am I on? Hello, can you guys hear me out there?
Hello, New York. You're on the phone.
Is it my headphones?
Maybe it's your headphones.
Maybe it's my headphones. Let me try these.
Let's see. We're having some technical audio difficulties. But that's okay because we have beer, so it's cool.
Righties and lefties?
I don't think...
Right, there you go.
How
Hello?
About now?
Hello? No, these are worse. I'll stay with these. It's too late, Ivan. We've gone too far.
It's too far, man. Too far. So, we've actually lost John, to work.
Yeah, I had him on backwards.
So yes, John is working a lot from 3 to 3, 3 a.m. to 3 p.m.
If we ever record during the week, he won't be able to do it.
Maybe we should try to record on a weekend sometime in the future. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
if he reads stuff.
Well, he's not reading anymore?
His time is, like, so full. Like, it's crazy.
That's so odd, because he used to have so much time on his hands.
He had nothing but time.
Nothing. It was like the Twilight Zone episode where the guy's like, there's finally time enough. Yeah.
And he breaks his glasses.
Yeah, exactly. But this... No! Why? No. But now...
That's Meredith Burgess. Did you know that?
No.
The Penguin?
No way, dude. Are you serious?
Yeah. And
I see it now.
What's his face? Rocky's trainer? Rocky's trainer? The Rocky? God damn it, what's his trainer?
Oh, yeah. Rocky's trainer. Yeah, right. God, what is his name?
Mick,
right. That's him too?
Yeah.
Whoa, mine has been blown, guys. Oh my God.
I never found that out.
What kind of fan am
it's
I?
Like
I don't
every,
know this.
The three stages in his life.
Wow, and they're really poignant roles, you know?
When he's young, like middle age, and then when he's old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow.
He's like, wah, wah, not enough time, wah, wah.
Did he reprise? No, he didn't reprise his role, right?
No,
is he gone?
Dead.
He's
gone?
Oh, he's gone.
He died. All the good ones are dead.
Oh, they are.
Kim Kardashian's still alive, though.
Fuck. Jesus.
Crunching.
I also got corn nuts as snacks and forgot to account for the crunch. But they're so delicious, we're not going to stop eating them. So,
right.
Sorry about that.
Victims. Aren't we all?
We both have read The Crow completely from cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
This is the comic with the trade paperback by Jay O'Barr.
Yeah.
And we're just going to quickly gloss over it because it was just... Have you guys, I mean, I'm sure you guys, like, have had chocolate. Maybe some of you guys like chocolate. Maybe some of you guys can live without chocolate, but you've had chocolate. This trade paperback for me was, I particularly like chocolate, so it was chocolatey, but at some points in the story, it was just, like, dark chocolate, and
it's too thick. Yeah, it's
and
like
too
you're
rich.
Eating you're eating milk chocolate, and all of a sudden you bite into dark chocolate, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, fuck, that's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really hard for me to come out of that kind of darkness for, and actually after finishing reading this comic book, I felt kind of depressed for a good 2 days.
Yeah.
It just really took.
It's from that time, like it's dated. It's not that it's a bad book. Like there's dated comics. Like when you read fucking Daredevil 22, mm-hmm. it's fucking dated. Like you're like, what the fuck? Like, mm-hmm. calm down from there, evildoer. You know, that's just, like this feels from the time that it was written. Like, you know, it's really Neil Gaiman-ish.
Like a Nirvana kind mm-hmm. of...
It's from that time. You could tell it's from that time. Mm-hmm. The artwork, the writing. Because mm-hmm. I was telling Sam, what the fuck? Sarah. That it's like a poetry book, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, I remember high points from it, from what I remember from the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, trying to make those connections. Like,
yes. Did mm-hmm. you try to do that through... Yeah. Because the movie was so part of us growing up,
right.
like, you know, a young adult kind of like old teenager kind of time. It was such an epic movie for us. And then to lose Brandon Lee during the filming of that movie, it just became such an iconic
right.
movie for us that we tried to, because this book inspired that movie, we tried to make the connection throughout reading this comic, and it's a totally different type of character.
The story, the character's different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just the crow. He's just different. He's different in the book than from the movie.
Completely different. I think it's kind of like an inspiration. The movie was an inspiration based off the book, mm-hmm. but it had almost very, I mean, it was like, you can pretty much count in one hand how many times it actually tied into the movie.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So because of that, it was a bit disappointing for me because I couldn't tie it entirely to the movie.
Right,
because
I saw the movie first. This is right. my first time reading The Crow.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, this is cool.
It's going to be great.
The movie and shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And again, not that the book is bad. It's a good book, but I don't think it's for everybody. Not everybody's going to enjoy this. First of all, not everybody's going to enjoy the artwork.
It was actually a Japanese anime inspired, mm-hmm. so yes.
Mm-hmm. The story, it's a lot of poetry. Like sometimes it will pull you out of the book or out of the story somehow. Like I would get lost because all of a sudden I'd be reading a poem
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I'm like, wait, what happened? What happened? I have to go back. Let me go read this, you know?
Kind of like a lot of inner monologue, sort mm-hmm. of like, yeah.
Yeah, and like in here is it more sad? Like he's more.
He's darker and uh-huh. far more depressed. And
yeah, he's way depressed in this book. Like in the movie, he was too.
But there was a kind of a jokish kind of
there was a
banter.
Balance,
yeah.
This one, he's like, oh, like he fights and then he starts crying. Oh, my, what's the girlfriend's name? I don't
Shelley?
Remember. Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Shelley. And then he's like, all of a sudden, he's just like, oh, Shelley. What? And yeah, it was a tough read. It was a tough read for me.
Yeah, it was a tough read for me only because the way I grew up when in my kind of youth, it really uh-huh. was kind of mimicking a lot of the feelings I was feeling during my young adult.
Right.
Not a young adult, more like teenage adult kind of time. And so I found myself being pulled and sucked in so much into my dark past, into my own personal darkness and feelings
yeah.
that it was so hard to come up for air for me. Like it was just really, I think I identified a lot with it so much so that it just felt like, it was pulling me into a darkness I got out of a long time ago that I forgot about. And it just kind of was like, hey, here I am. I'm still here. And I'm like,
yeah.
I need a break.
You will never forget.
I will never forget. And then actually shortly after reading it, like for 2 days, I was like in this kind of like stuck in kind of like a backwards mm-hmm. kind of like the way I used to think and feel and act and talk. And it just, even the music, I started listening to all the music I used to listen to and put on some Dead Can Dance and some Depeche Mode and yeah. some freaking Mortal Coil.
This book is old.
Yeah.
It's from the 81.
Yeah.
81. I wasn't mm-hmm. even born yet. When this
book was no way, really? Oh.
I was born in 82.
Oh, shit. That's
so,
fucking nuts.
And the movie came out in 95, 6? No, 94.
Yeah, I think so.
94. I was in 7th grade.
I was in high school.
I was in seventh grade.
I graduated high school. Mm-hmm.
I remember because a lot of the girls were dressing up as a crow.
Really?
Yeah, that Halloween.
We should just, I should just dress up as a crow.
I would look like a fat, giant crow.
Crow, right.
It's like the crow after he retired. Just gave up. Like I cut my hair, gave up. Stopped playing guitar and...
Right?
Uh-huh. And working out.
So, I think for me it was a real, like, kind of a time capsule, like, going back in time for me. It was cool. I really loved it, but it just really sucked me in. Mm-hmm. It was hard to come out of that darkness for me. But I really highly recommend it. I do. I really loved it. I know it's dated, but I just felt it was such a personal story.
Like, even though it's dated, like, not that it's dated like it's bad, it's just dated because it's, you could tell from what time, what years this was done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's that, like you said, your teenage youth which was that whole time, which was like kind of gothic-y, Joy Division-y type time frame, which was, that was like right before me. So I kind of missed it. Like, you know, the vampires were around and stuff.
Totally.
So, but it's, you could totally tell. I would say give it a shot. Like, try it out. Cause it's good, but it's tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough read.
Right.
It's good, but it's a tough read and it's not like the book. So don't expect to, you know, you see some of them like Tintin and some other guys on here from the book.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like mowing down everybody. The pawn shop guy, that happens in the book too.
Right.
So there's like little things. Like it's just like you see a part from the movie and then all of a sudden it gets into this like poem thing, this like slow dance, dark thing. And then all of a sudden you're back into the movie. You know, it was, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. It was just, I was just like, whoa. When I was done with it, I was like, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I'll read it again, but.
You're right. It is a hard read, but not hard read in the sense that the text is hard to read, but more as a.
Because it's not
emotional.
Dense.
Yeah.
It's not a dense book. It's pretty quick, but yeah, it's just sometimes you're going to go back and be like, wait, what does this mean? It's just his words that he uses are really.
I think they're just so charged with emotion. Mm-hmm. You just, like, you can feel it through the pages. And, but yeah.
It's like I want to know what James Barr was thinking when he wrote this book.
He wrote the book, I believe, after his fiancée passed.
Yeah. So there you go.
It was a very personal experience. This is loss, and he completely brought it out in the book. I mean, I can feel it.
How did she die? Do you know how she died?
No, I didn't go into detail, but he had a personal loss, something like his fiancée died, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you can totally sense the pain through the pages.
I wonder if he lived that story. That's a true story. He actually was the crow, and his fiance was raped and murdered, and he went back for revenge.
That would have been cool.
And this is a memoir.
This is the actual biography. O'Barr, it's an autobiography, guys.
Let me see.
But I think the pain that he was feeling really translates through this book. So maybe... I think if you're trying to exercise a personal loss, I think if you're trying to find somebody who feels the same way, just to find a sense of solace in somebody else feeling the same way you do and not alone in the world, this is definitely the book for you to read, because you will definitely connect on an emotional level that normal people wouldn't be able to grasp.
In 1978, this book came out in 1981. In 1978, James O'Barr's fiance Beverly was killed by a drunk driver, and he enlisted in the Marines in an effort to cope with the loss. He was stationed in Germany and illustrated combat manuals for the military. While living in Berlin in 1981, O'Barr began work on the Crow as a means of dealing with his personal tragedy. So there, after reading that, it's like, okay, I see it.
Yeah,
like you totally see.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I was like, it's too sad. I
can't even explain how I felt. You know, I was lying on my bed reading this book, and it was so hard for me to stop reading.
Right.
But I was just feeling so depressed. I just couldn't come out of it. And I'm like, God, you know, this is how I used to feel on a normal basis. I need to come out of it. Like, I needed to take breaks.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, that's our review on The Crow.
There you go. So sorry to depress you.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
But honestly, check it out. But don't expect anything like the movie.
No, no. Yeah. Don't expect the movie at all. Not at all. Definitely go and watch it. Read it. If you're going to watch the movie, maybe read it first before you watch the movie. If you haven't seen the movie.
If already. You haven't seen The Crow.
What the hell are you what? Doing? No. Right? What the hell are what you doing with your fuck? Life? In other news, we have been geeking out on Luke Cage, guys.
Right.
So what did you think?
Going into Luke Cage, I didn't know anything about Luke Cage other than he was Power Man. He was Iron Fist's partner.
Sidekick.
in you know, a certain span of Power Man and Iron Fist, and that's pretty much all I knew. I didn't know how he got his powers, I didn't know what he was. I mean, he was a black dude, but I didn't know his villains. I didn't know anything.
Right.
So, actually, watching Luke Cage, I had to... who's Copperhead? Pause.
Right. I know. Back. I did who's, the same thing. Yeah, I was like, oh,
who's
my God.
Copperhead? Oh, okay.
I love Google for that.
Yeah. Who's this lady? Oh, okay. You know, so I did who's a Miranda? Lot of that. Yeah. So, it's like, now I know a lot more about Luke Cage. Uh-huh. And I liked it. I thought it was cool. It's my least favorite from the Netflix shows. Not, and again, it's not, it was a, I liked it. I enjoyed it,
mm-hmm.
but it was, let's see. It was like a very political story.
I really love that about it.
See,
actually.
I don't care. I love that about it. I don't care for the politics, but again, it was a good show, but it was my least favorite. And it was like really, I don't know. I guess it's just like, I like Iron Fist. Like, I'm excited for Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. Because I like Iron Fist, but because it's martial arts, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just think that's so cool.
Well, we grew up with, you know, freaking Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan. And
like Daredevil. I love Daredevil. Mm-hmm. Just watching him move and fight. And that, I guess that's just more of what I want to see. Just like the fight. As to where he would fight in the show, but it was really...
limited.
It was just like slug. Like just boom, boom. Just like...
sort of watching
brawling.
The Juggernaut.
Yeah.
The Juggernaut.
Juggernaut
like, times
and,
two. Yeah.
And Hulk just
yeah,
going at
just
it.
Going on. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, having said that though, I did enjoy it. I watched it in 2 days.
Me too.
I was like, okay, I want to keep swinging it. And maybe because it was a new character to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool learning about a new person. I mean, I know some things changed, but like seeing Copperhead, seeing, what was the main guy, the main villain?
Cottonmouth.
Cottonmouth.
And Miranda, which is...
Cottonmouth was the lower guy, right? Copperhead is the
oh, yeah, Copperhead
is the
big dude that's supposed
and
to be
Cottonmouth was
yeah.
the younger, the lesser guy.
Yeah.
Right. But it was a good story, just how everything unraveled. Like, I thought it was going this way.
Oh, yeah.
And then, boom, it just fucking flipped on me, and that was cool.
That one moment where it flips on you, mm-hmm. I was like, I almost threw the remote. I'm like, what is going on? And
I was like, holy shit.
We still have like 5 episodes left. And what's going on? Like, what's going on?
Right. I'm just wondering if he's going to, throughout the show, if he's ever going to go back to Jessica Jones.
Me too. I kept thinking that. I'm like, is he ever going to rehook up with Jessica? Because
yeah.
I thought they made a really great pair.
Because they're, like in the comics, I know they're a pair. And right now in current...
I think they actually had a kid.
In current Marvel, they have kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're married.
Yeah.
And Power Fist Power Man, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are retired.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke and Iron Fist is supposed to retire. Because there's Iron Fist and Luke Cage right now. Power Man and Iron Fist is what it is. They brought it back. And they're supposed to be retired, but they're kind of going under the radar and still doing things. You know? But he has kids with Jessica Jones.
Jones, exactly.
They're married and shit.
I'm very excited. The Luke Cage is played by Mike Kotler. I was looking at his filmography and his work. He's played like... in like ER and like Law and Order, like these things that really don't stick mm-hmm. out for, so for him, for me to see him in this series, I didn't feel like I was tying him into another character, you know, like
right.
I would with Ben Affleck and Batman, but this was just completely new to me.
Ben Affleck, I can't tie him into anything. I'm just like, that's Ben Affleck. I can't.
Right.
What are you doing? What? Ben Affleck, who are you?
Who are you?
What are you doing there?
So in that sense, I was really pleasantly surprised. His acting is amazing. I really like the complexity of the story. Just really amazing. I really, really love the political charge. Mm-hmm. It really moved me when I was watching it. I actually wanted to go get my sweatshirt and put holes in them. You know,
wear a hoodie
and put holes in my sweatshirt because I really liked that political charge. As a matter of fact, there was a lot of Twitter and a lot of media, social media coverage saying that a lot of people of the white persuasion were complaining that there wasn't any white actors.
I saw that and I'm like, what? I'm like, why? Like, why would you? It's, look at the show. Look at what kind of show it is. Look at where it takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you don't see white people in that part of town, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you don't see them in that part. They're in Hell's Kitchen.
No. This is Harlem. Hell's Kitchen is Daredevil.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You'll see the white people in Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, I see.
But you won't see them in Harlem.
Yeah.
And you'll see Hispanics and black folk and, you know, those kind of people.
Mm-hmm,
I'm part of those people. So
right. Yeah. So it's okay for us to say.
They say those people.
It's sort of like when a Jewish person says a Jewish joke. It's okay for them to say it. Nobody else can.
It's so like that never came. I never thought of that. You know, I never.
Yeah, that didn't come up either.
Like, yeah, it's like it makes sense where they're at in Harlem. It's I'm not going to see fucking white business people walking around there.
Right. Somebody posted it up on Facebook and I put, well, at least Robbie Krieger's in it, you know, because the detective, he played Robbie Krieger in the movie The Doors. And he was also, the guy who kept saying what in Pulp Fiction. Mm-hmm. What? Say what, motherfucker? One more time. I dare you to say what? What?
Yeah.
I love that guy. So, I mean, I'm really happy to have seen him again, like later in his life. And he just, his voice changed a little. His acting's still on par. So, and he was a really key character. It really was, I really like how this series really makes me, it's, my feelings towards the character and his actions are driving me a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then halfway through it, because, you know, a human being is complex. And they bring that in this show because, for instance, I like this guy, and then all of a sudden I hate him,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden I like him again. It was like,
and then you're like, I feel bad for him.
I feel bad for him, and I'm like, oh, poor guy. I'm gonna go pray for him. You know, like it's that type of show that there's like it's sort of like it takes a character, and you're kind of looking at all kind of angles and perspectives and ideas, and it was. I mean, I think the acting was amazing.
Yeah,
I thought the acting, the storyline. Yeah. If you haven't watched it, we don't want to spoil anything. I mean,
you have to watch. What's the matter with
you?
It's a great, it's a good show.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but one of the most amazing parts is the title sequence, because the title sequence, the music mm-hmm. is just amazing.
It reminded me of the Daredevil sequence, but it was like slightly different. Where Daredevil, you see his body, like parts of his body, mm-hmm. but it's like, I don't know if it's supposed to be blood or it's whatever. It's covering the city and then everything starts showing up.
Right.
So it was kind of cool. Like it felt like a little toss to that because you see Power Man's body.
Mm-hmm.
And you see like his hands and his arms and this and that. And you see like the street names and everything that has to do with Harlem.
Exactly.
You see it like reflecting off of it, which I thought was pretty cool.
I really like it. But the music, I think mm-hmm. the music is a really amazing backdrop to this this really great show. I don't think I have a favorite. I think I lean towards Jessica Jones only because I read the Max.
Your girl?
No.
Back up women?
No. It has nothing to do with feminism. It actually has to do with, I actually feel like I have a connection with that character because when the series came out, I actually read Alias. So for me, it's the connection with like, you know, I read the comic book back in the day.
Yeah, like, I like the Daredevil series more, but I think because I'm more familiar with Daredevil, so I pick up things more
mm-hmm.
on that one. Jessica Jones, I wasn't too familiar with her either, besides basic stuff that I knew. But just what's his face as Kilgrave? Oh my god, he was fucking amazing. And he really, like, pushed that show for me. Like, seeing him, that guy David Tennant, act like that, like I was only familiar with him as Doctor Who, and seeing him totally do a 180 and act as this villain, this crazy, and just his acting was fucking, so for me it's like him as a villain, He was fucking awesome. So I think that's what does it for me in the show. Like, when I think of Jessica Jones, I right away think of fucking Kilgrave. He was fucking awesome.
He was.
Luke Cage, it was a good Netflix. What are you going to expect from Netflix? But everything's fucking great.
I'm like all about Netflix. Mm. I'm all over it, man.
It's like, I wish they would do all their fucking characters on Netflix.
Absolutely. I agree. I totally agree.
I'm like, DC, come on, get on board with this. Like, do something with Netflix or
yeah, Hulu, do something.
Or who, like, leave. It's cause, like, I just like what they could do on Netflix. It's like the shows, the tone of the shows is
fucking awesome. In the span of 13 episodes, really, like, you fall in love with these characters. They even show you, I mean, they even have like the flashbacks where you know, and it really catches you up.
I mean, even like watching CW, watching The Flash and watching Arrow, I hate how sappy they get with the romance.
They do.
It's so ridiculous.
It's,
With Netflix, there's romance in the fucking show and it gets hot. You know, and you're like, fuck. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know, it's just done better.
Yeah, it's on the back burner. It's not the topic of the story.
Yeah, it's not like fucking, we were talking about before we recorded Arrow and Felicity, and it's like, god. Oh my god, they made such a big deal, but I was like, who gives a fuck?
Like,
I was like, first of all, where's Canary? Why isn't he in love with Canary?
She's dead now.
But they have the other Canary, the sister.
She's dead too.
That's right. Wait, they both died?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Oops. Oops.
I didn't know that. But yeah. I was just like, why the fuck is he even Felicity? Ugh. But like this one with Luke Cage and the night nurse, and it's like, but it's not overdone, you know?
And that's one of the things I really like about these Netflix shows is that they don't make the women super sappy and emotional. Like, I really love one of the scenes with the detective, who was hot, by the way. Oh my god, her boobs are amazing. But
which one, Misty Knight?
Misty Knight. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Monique Dulles to this part, but yeah,
she's hot.
I've never felt like that for a black woman. I was like, oh my god.
I know, Misty.
And then when him and her were getting it on.
Oh yeah. Woo, I was like, man. Whoa.
I was like, do it.
I'm going for coffee.
I was like, bang it out like you did with Jessica Jones.
But with Jessica, it was like, he was able to like, free himself from his restrictions on his power because she could take it. Oh my god. Anyway, I got shudders. But that moment where that one episode where Misty Knight was having troubles with her, like, separating what happened to her and her professional life. Mm-hmm. And I really like how they didn't go, I mean, they went emotional, but they didn't go sappy. Which I really appreciate, because not all women are sappy. You know, they were trying to keep it professional. Mm. You know, even her captain was also trying to like keep it professional. So for me, I felt like, you know, that's what we strive for, to not be these women that like crumble emotionally. Yeah. Like,
well, it's like even with her, like there was a point where she did break down, but
it wasn't Felicity breakdown. Where it's like, you lied to me about having a child.
A tough woman. And you can see it. And of course, like, there's gonna be a time when you just gotta break down and let it out and then get back on your bike and keep riding, you know?
Yeah.
And, oh god, she's so hot though.
Yeah, she is.
I was looking her up. I was like, where's she been? Oh, let me see. Misty Knight naked.
But I really like how they really handle really well the female characters, because you don't want to see sappy lovey-dovey.
I was like, is Daredevil or Daredevil and Luke Cage. I keep wanting to say Power Man. Are Daredevil and Power Man gonna fucking throw fisticuffs for Night Nurse?
Because they were kind of an item,
and I felt like the connection with Daredevil was actually a lot better.
Me too.
A lot more emotional than with, you like, know, like she's with Power Man, she says like, this is a tall chocolate yummy man, buff, you know, but with Daredevil, like their connection and them not being able to,
there was a confliction there.
Him not wanting to put her in danger, and this, it was like, Mm-hmm. It was good.
But you know, and that's a, that was a cool thing because the, then you see the development of her character because we see her hooking up with Daredevil and she's conflicted and she doesn't want to be in danger and he doesn't want to put her in danger. But yet, you know, being, presented again with one of these other people with superpowers and that can help humanity, she learns, you actually see the transition of hers accepting that this is her role in life, that she should help these powerful beings help humanity and help the people who need them. So at that point, she became accepting of her role in this situation. And
she
became
the Night Nurse.
The Night Nurse. And I think that's why she was able to accept Cage's affections, was because she had already evolved in her role in this situation.
Oh my god, is she gonna fall for Danny Rand too? Like,
I don't know.
Iron Fist though. He's gonna be like, ha-cha!
Speaking of Iron Fist, Iron Fist is coming out March 17, 2017. I cannot wait. Oh my god. I'm gonna mark it on my calendar.
I saw this fucking you know how Facebook shows you the memories?
Oh really?
Excuse me. You know how Facebook shows you the memories? A couple days ago, it showed me a memory of something that I wrote on Facebook where Netflix and Marvel were almost thinking about scrapping Iron Fist.
No.
And I was like,
way.
No. I was like, this is like the person that I'm looking forward to is fucking Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's so awesome. I was like, oh man, it's going to be so awesome. And then they said that and I was like, No. But obviously we know that it's on now.
I actually wasn't aware. I wasn't keeping up with them until I saw Luke Cage and I was like, okay, I gotta get on this board. I gotta make sure I know when it's coming out. I mean, unfortunately I have people who remind me, oh, I guess, you know, Luke Cage is coming out tomorrow. Oh, okay, I'm gonna binge, you know? But, I'm really looking forward to Iron Fist, totally.
The guy, I wanna see how the guy is cause I have him from Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
the
he's
same
a
as this like gay dude. and not that a gay dude can't be a superhero, but can he be Iron Fist?
Right, you know? Exactly. His name is Finn Jones, and he plays Marjorie's brother on Game of Thrones. And if we all remember, Marjorie's brother is gay, and that's one of the reasons one of the story developments of the Game of Thrones happens is because, you know, Marjorie's brother gets imprisoned because of his, you know, sexual orientation, his sins. So, I think he's fucking hot. I've seen him in freaking Game of Thrones. He's fucking hottie. Mm-hmm. I know he can act. I just want
to
know.
Just to wait for me.
I want to know how he's gonna bring it as Danny Rand in Iron Fist. And again, with Iron Fist, I don't know much about the character, but that's how I want to keep it until I see the show and I put it on pause whenever something strikes me to look up.
You know anything about Iron Fist?
Not at all. All I know is that he owns a gym.
Oh, he became Iron Fist?
I know that he was lost in Nepal. Mm. And that's about it.
It's going to be so awesome. At least I hope so.
So you're familiar with the character? Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, from what I know, from what I've read, I haven't followed him a lot. Mm-hmm. I just recently, my favorite characters from Marvel
are Captain America? No!
Iron Man? No! He's not Iron Man. I hate Iron Man. It's Iron Fist and Moon Knight.
Oh, cool.
I love fucking Moon Knight. Moon Knight is... I would love to see a Netflix show of Moon Knight. Oh my god, the things it could do with fucking Moon Knight. But Iron Fist, he loses his parents. Mm-hmm. He loses his mom. And he gets lost in the mountains of... I think, was it Nepal? I don't remember. But then that's when he finds the hidden city where he starts training. I'm not going to give too much away, but that's kind of the gist of it. And that's where he becomes Iron Fist. Imagine when Bruce Lee's spinning his arms and he start going in slow motion and shit. And you just see the dragon. Iron Fist's dragon.
Where, can I ask this? Where does Iron Fist's powers or abilities come from? Is it like a mystical energy?
Mm-hmm. It's like a mystical thing. God damn it. Now I'm like, wait, am I confusing my thing? But it is like a mystical thing, like Doctor Strange.
Okay, got it.
He gets trained. He gets trained to be that person.
To conjure this energy, you know, that's mystical. Yeah. Awesome.
And like his fists aren't iron.
Because that's what I thought. Yeah. Honestly, I gotta be honest.
The man with the iron hands, what was it? Uh-huh. But, like, he summons this power where his punches, it's just cool.
Hmm. I can't wait.
I cannot wait. I love the martial arts thing and, yeah, it's fucking awesome. So those two are my favorite Marvel characters. Not Iron Fist, because he doesn't have a solo comic right now. He's with Power Man.
Okay.
And it's kind of, I don't want to say goofy. It's not goofy, but it's...
Slapstick?
No, it's not. It's just more lighthearted.
Okay, lighthearted. You know? Okay.
And, like, Moon Knight is a character you should check out. Like, get away from the main Avengers. Get away from the Avengers. I mean, I love Winter Soldier. I think he's fucking a badass character.
Mm-hmm.
But Moon Knight and Iron Fist are characters that you should check out. Moon Knight is pretty much... Because Iron Fist is a millionaire also.
Okay.
He has Rand Industries. And because his name's Danny Rand.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moon Knight is a fucking millionaire also. Moon Knight is pretty much Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But he's crazy.
Oh, okay.
Like, he's crazy. So you're like... A lot of times you're like, wait, is this really happening? Or is he just fucking sitting in a room and he's crazy? Like, you don't know, so you have to read the thing. And I just think he's an awesome character. And I hope they do something with him. And I hope they do it on Netflix. Because if you were to read him, like, just... He gets the power of, like, Khonshu, which is, like, an Egyptian goddess or god. And that's where he gets his powers from. So you see a lot of Egyptian... what are they called?
Hieroglyphics.
Imagery. Okay. There you go. What they're doing with him right now on Marvel, this is comic book podcast. What they're doing with him on Marvel right now, I suggest if you want to read Moon Knight, pick him up, pick up what they're doing right now with him. It's fucking good. And also what Warren Ellis did, 1-7 of Warren Ellis in the last run of Moon Knight.
Okay.
You guys won't be disappointed in this. Ooh, you guys. I'm
excited. Is there like, is it a trade paperback that we can?
Yeah.
Actually, we should read that.
1-7 of Warren, because Warren Ellis took up Moon Knight to write it. What did I just say? What does that sentence mean?
Yeah.
Warren Knight wanted to. Warren Knight. Warren Ellis wanted to write Moon Knight.
No more beer for you.
He was only gonna do 1-7.
Uh-huh.
And that's all he did. Uh-huh. But it was doing well, so somebody else kept writing it. Brian Wood started writing it, which is the writer of he did a lot of the Dark Horse Star Wars stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But after when he took over, it was just a different tone for me. Warren Ellis did a great job. And then after that, it was Cullen Bunn. Cullen Bunn, he's hit or miss. His superhero stuff, I'm not that big fan of. And I wasn't a fan of the Moon Knight stuff. But then that ended, the whole Marvel Now ended. And then the new Marvel stuff started, and they started a new Moon Knight book, which Jeff Lemire is writing.
Oh, my God.
He's writing
Love Jeff Lemire. He's writing Moon Knight. Oh, my God.
So it's fucking good.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but again, Moon Knight is one of those characters that's going to keep you on your feet, because once you're familiar with him, you're like... Is this really happening? Like, is he?
I like that. You're question.
Like, is he really a superhero? Is this like, or is he just a crazy dude in a room thinking of all this shit? Like, you don't know.
Awesome.
There was a run back in like the day where this whole event happened in Marvel, and at the end, it was turned out it was just Moon Knight just great being crazy.
Oh my
it was
God.
Just all him being crazy. It wasn't like a major event, but it was just a lot of characters were involved, and it was just him being crazy at the end.
Wow.
You're like, oh, fuck, what the hell?
What did I just read?
So he's a cool character to look into.
Oh,
speaking... go ahead.
We should definitely read that for our next podcast. Mm-hmm. You know what? It sounds so exciting. I want to read it.
I actually have the first few... I started collecting Moon Knight, so I have a lot of Moon Knight. I have his second appearance. I'm looking for his first appearance, but that's a $700 book.
No.
But I have his early books, because he started, his first appearance was in Werewolf by Midnight. Mm-hmm. You know how they had the Werewolf book back in the day, and Marvel did Dracula and all that.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh my God. So I haven't thought of that in so long.
He's in Werewolf by Midnight. I want to say number 22, his first appearance. I have number 23.
Mm.
And I've been picking up his like early appearances and getting him the covers and stuff. I just think he's a great character. And but yeah, but I was gonna say, speaking of really cool characters that you guys should look into, a publishing house that you guys should look into is Valiant Comics.
Nice.
Valiant is its own universe, just with superheroes and villains, just like DC and Marvel. And they have three characters. They have more characters, but the three that I like are Bloodshot, Eternal Warrior, and Ninjak. And now, they've been around since like the 90s, I want to say. But they sold the company, and the people that own it now,
mm-hmm.
totally revamped it.
Really?
And totally put it back into, are trying. They're trying to put it back into people's eye. There's only a handful of people that read Valiant right now, which is sad because they have great books. They have great writers, great stories, especially with Bloodshot, Ninjak, and Eternal Warrior. They have Exo Manowar and those characters, but they're making movies. They partnered up with Sony to start putting out a Valiant universe, Valiant movies.
Wow.
I was excited. Uh-oh. I was like, yeah. I was excited.
Keyword is was, guys.
The first one they're putting out is Bloodshot.
Okay.
And I was like, fuck yeah, Bloodshot. Bloodshot's pretty much like the Punisher. Think of the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
Just some differences that I will let you look into. But he's like that guy, you know. But they announced who's playing Bloodshot in the Marvel movies, in the Valiant Universe, and it's fucking Jason David Frank, who played the fucking Green Ranger in the Power Rangers.
In the first in Power the Rangers?
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
You mean the guy with the long hair, Tommy?
Tommy.
Oh my god.
He was
god.
The Green Ranger. No. He was the White Ranger. And he's gonna be fucking Bloodshot. And I was like, oh my god.
You know what he needs to do?
Go away.
Besides go away, which would be the first thing to do. But now that he's taking on this role, what he needs to do is he needs to go of the route of John Batista. And you know what John Batista did? He took endless amount of acting classes just to play the character he played in Drax. Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. So I think this is what Tommy should do. He should fucking bombard his schedule with fucking acting classes.
But he's a terrible actor.
He is.
Back in the day, I love the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, yes. But because back in the day, I watch it now, and I watch it, I'm like, this is ridiculous, but
it's really bad. Yes, it's really bad.
And he's a terrible actor. They're all terrible actors. But it was for a kid's show, so it didn't matter. And I was like, I cannot see him playing this fucking character. It's like, think of Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, Tommy, playing the Punisher character on fucking Daredevil.
No.
Imagine that. That's exactly how I feel. I'm like, no. And it's funny because I even thought of that. I was like, you know who would be, when they announced that, who would be a fucking great Bloodshot? Was fucking John Bernthal, a guy that played Punisher.
No way.
I was like, man, he would be fucking perfect. And they decided to go with Jason. I was like, are you fucking serious?
I hate when they do that.
But read the comics. Read Bloodshot comics. They have trades. They're well into their trades. They have good stuff. And then another character that they're doing, I think, to follow next movie, or he's going to be in Bloodshot, is Ninjak. Ninjak is, again, he's just like Batman, but he's more ninja. Think of the Christopher Nolan movies, when Batman's training and he's in the ninjutsu.
Oh, yes.
That's Ninjak, and he has the techie stuff, too.
Nice.
And he's also a millionaire, like who isn't in the comic book world?
Right.
So he's all techie, and he's just a badass. He's a great martial artist. But imagine that. So that, I think, that Nolan part where Batman's training with the League of Shadows, that would be like a Ninjak movie.
Nice.
The guy that's playing Ninjak, I don't know if it's for sure now, but it's the guy that played Deadshot in Arrow.
Okay, he's not bad. He's not a bad actor.
He's not, but I feel like he's too old.
He is kind of old. He's a little dated. He's a little gray in the
hair. I was like, okay, I'll let that one. But, I mean, Eternal Warrior, if they were to... Alright, Eternal Warrior is like a Thor-ish kind of guy. Hercules-ish kind of guy. He's pretty much like this barbarian, not barbarian, but that type of character where he's immortal.
Okay.
And he's been fighting. He's a protector of Earth, and he's been protecting Earth since forever.
Since the dawn of time.
And they all have their team, Unity, and all that stuff. So it's, it, again, it's just Valiant. If you're not reading Valiant... They blow DC and Marvel out of the water.
No way.
With their stories. They are so good.
Just saying
I enjoy their books so much more than DC and Marvel. Because DC and Marvel are recycling and recycling.
They are.
And
aren't
I'm
they?
Like, oh, I've already read this. I don't want to read this again. Give me new stuff.
The new thing now is transforming old male characters into female characters. It's like, well, you should have thought of this a long time ago. Yeah. Seriously.
But it's because right now it's working because of the whole inclusive era and shit. But I'm like, fuck you. Give me a new character. I want to see somebody cool. Give me a new story. You know, it's like Civil War. They're doing a Civil War right now. And it's like, why? Why do I need Civil War again? It was a great story back in the day. I don't need it again. Give me something else.
Right.
It's right. Like it's Iron Man and Captain Marvel fighting. I was like, I don't care. I've read this already. I don't. They're just fighting about something else. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, but seriously, if you guys want good shit, fucking Valiant. Bloodshot, Ninjak, and Eternal Warrior.
I'm in, man. I'm so in.
I would say, you know, Jeff Lemire was so good at Bloodshot. Sorry.
Jeff Lemire wrote some of Bloodshot?
Jeff Lemire is writing Bloodshot too, actually.
Oh, no way.
So Moon Knight and Bloodshot, he's doing those two books. Jeff Lemire did it. I had never read Bloodshot before.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Lemire did such a great job of Bloodshot. When I finished that first couple of books of Bloodshot, because I was reading it as it came out monthly,
mm-hmm.
it felt like I knew Bloodshot, like I knew who the fuck he was, like I was there from the beginning.
Really?
He did such a great job at telling me the story, and it wasn't too much. He gave me the today, he gave me, because something went on with Bloodshot, now he's different from back in the day.
Okay.
And he tells you why, and that leads into who he was. And so I'm like, oh, fuck, I know who the fuck Bloodshot is. This is fucking awesome. And
like
so
we're pals.
Yeah, so I enjoyed reading it, you know. Well, reading his stuff, it was just good stuff. I tell people, I'm like, when I was working at the comic book store, I'm like, they're like, oh, can you give me a good superhero book? Like Iron Man or something? I'm like, nah. Valiant. Yes.
Oh,
I'm like, read this Valiant stuff. This is good shit. But since it wasn't known, they're like, well, maybe more of a Batman book, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Batman has tons of great stories, but
Aaron does.
I'm just like,
sorry, they do.
Yeah, I'm just like, come on, like,
mm-hmm.
give it a shot. But since it's not a popular thing, but I feel like once the movies come out,
it might open the doors to, yeah, it should shoot up. Yeah, definitely.
I hope it does because they do good stuff and they have great writers. They have great people writing their stuff and the artwork is great.
You had me at Jeff Lemire. That's where you had me at. So I'm excited. I'm actually
Jeff Lemire and Michael Venditti.
Venditti.
Venditti. They're great writers. And I said, the comic book only gets like 5 copies.
No.
And it's like
way.
One was for me. And the other one's for people that actually read them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool because I would sit there and talk to them. Like, yeah, man, Bloodshot. Oh, and they're like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's still getting their fucking Harley Quinn and Deadpool.
Oh.
Garbage, I say.
Garbage. Oh, my God.
I don't know how else to say it. If I knew other languages, I'd say it in another language.
Well, I'm in, dude. I'm in. I'm actually going to look for it on Comixology because... I was talking to the guy from Aftershock Comics,
mm-hmm.
and he was telling me that a way that your spouse doesn't notice how much you're spending on comics is through Comixology. So I'm gonna use that to my advantage. Actually, Comixology just had a sale, a 60% off a certain Vertigo title comics. Mm. So I bought like.
Oh, yeah?
$35 worth of comics.
We should do the next book as a Valiant one.
I want
to.
I'm excited now.
I know you want to read the Lemire stuff, but...
No, anything. I'm ready to read anything.
Because I've been told that the last incarnation of Eternal Warrior and all those characters, all those books are good. Again, nobody reads them. So I've been wanting to go back and read those,
mm-hmm.
which is... pre to the new stuff that's out right now. And I've been wanting to do it, and this would give me a reason to do it.
Oh, I would love to.
Let me find out, because I go to the comic shop every other Wednesday, Saturday. So I sit there and just bullshit with my ex-employees.
Oh, that's so cool.
Because they give me, like, major discounts. So I'm like, yeah.
Hey, maybe I could stop by, too. Right? Let me know.
And, if you want to go, I'll let you know. Oh, I'm going absolutely. Not this Saturday, the following Saturday.
Yeah, because this Saturday for me is freaking bugged, but let me know.
I go when I get paid.
And, makes sense.
Yeah. Because I'm like, wow, here's my check.
I didn't even care. I just signed it off to you.
We'll pick them out and I'll show you. It's good.
I would love to read them.
Moon Knight. Iron Fist. What did I say? Eternal Warrior. Bloodshot. Ninja. That's all you need to know.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we went to go see Batman Return of the Caped Crusader.
You need a...
we saw it October 10th at the theaters. It was a Fathom event. Mm-hmm. Basically, Adam West and Burt Ward and... I forgot. Julie Newmar reprised their roles from the 1960s characters they played on TV. We all grew up with them. You guys, don't lie. You know you watched it. Batman was Adam West and Burt Ward is Robin and Julie Newmar as Catwoman. One of the three different Catwomans we had during their TV land stay. And we all remember it. It was great. It was campy. It had humor and it was kind of silly, and it was like Technicolor and neon, and it had the wonderful crazy music in the background.
But it was funny because when I would watch it back in the day, I wasn't like, oh, this is campy. I was just like, this is great.
Oh my god, Batman has the greatest utility belt ever. He, like, one of the things that stood out that have stood the test of time for me with Batman was that one episode when they were surfing.
Oh, yeah.
And then then they get attacked by sharks, and he reaches into his utility belt, and he comes out with the shark repellent spray.
He wasn't surfing. He was in the helicopter.
Oh, yes, that's right. There was a surfing episode.
And he's climbing down the ladder. Uh-huh. And then his, like, foot's getting a, like, this is rubber-ass shark on his foot, and he's all shaking it around. And he's like, Robin, the bat repellent. And Robin does, like, this ridiculous climb down, where he hangs upside down and passes it to Batman. And I was like, wow, this is crazy.
I was like, oh, my God. And you know what I like when they kept us on a cliffhanger. What will... Tune in next week see, you know.
Will Batman, the Joker, get the best of him?
Will the Catwoman ever, you know, turn her evil ways?
Next week, same bat time.
Same bat channel. And
then I came next week and there was nothing.
Well, that's because they were having it on a different spin of the reruns and whatever. But we grew up with it, even though it was a show that came out in the 60s. Iconic voice. Mm-hmm. Adam West, man. You hear his voice and you're just like, it's like coming home. It's like warm soup on a cold day.
Yeah.
It's freaking a fire out, you know, like after coming in from the snow. I mean, it's just home. Adam West's voice to me is coming home, you know? And so watching this movie, I didn't read up on it. I didn't research it or anything. I was just happy to be out of the house. So we go and we watch it, and immediately just the music. In this particular Fathom event, there was an opening scene with Kevin Smith.
He has that show Geeking Out. So it was like a little segment.
A little segment of Geeking Out with,
just so you know, it's not in the theaters anymore. It was only that Monday. This past Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It was this past Monday. It was the only day in the theater, and they had like three screening times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it came out on Tuesday on Blu-ray. So you can pick it up on Blu-ray.
Actually, it came out on DVD, DVD on the 11th. And on Blu-ray, it's coming out November 1st.
Oh, so it's not out yet.
Oh, so DVD first, and then Blu-ray November 1st. So hold tight, guys, if you want to get the Blu-ray. And I think it's worth getting the Blu-ray.
It's probably available digitally then.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the DVD will come with a digital copy. Definitely. Well, we went to go watch it.
Yeah, we went to the theater to watch it.
That's right. In the reclining chairs.
There was nobody else in the theater.
There was just us.
It was like 10 people.
Yeah, pretty much.
That
was
kind of sad.
But no, I love that fact. It just felt so intimate.
It's just because I want them to keep doing the movies. Like, oh, I want them to keep doing the screenings.
Absolutely.
And it was so cool because after the movie, there was a little documentary type deal on the villains.
Exactly. The villains and the writers, the producers also. They were telling us a little bit about how they felt about the characters and how they grew up with them and how they developed, what they did with the storyline and so forth. So it was great. I thought it was really great. We're not going to spoil any of the storyline except to tell you that it is such a throwback.
Right.
Amazing, amazing throwback. The music, I like how the animation was, it looks, hand-drawn. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a throwback to maybe the Scooby-Doo kind of look, but they threw in some backgrounds that were 3D computerized that really like just kind of one of my favorite
when
scenes
the Batmobile was on
goes
the road,
through the tunnel and the tunnel is kind of jumping at you and when they went around they spun around the Batmobile, I was like my god, this is freaking great. I love it. And the storyline was really good. I really enjoyed it. It was actually I was really kind of surprised by the storyline. How about you?
I was.
Yeah.
What they did with Batman.
Yes.
I was like, wow.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, if you like the TV show, if you love the TV show, you'll definitely like the movie.
Absolutely.
But it's the same characters, except for the ones that are alive, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Which is only them three.
I know. You know what? Every time they had the Joker, because the Joker is in it, so is the Penguin, the Riddler, Catwoman, of course. When I kept seeing the Joker, I was like, he doesn't have that mustache under that white.
Yeah.
That white.
He didn't have
it's like, cause you know, I mean, we grew up.
But the voice actors did a pretty good job.
They did a really
the
good job.
With the laugh and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, I loved, Frank Gershon as the Riddler and just the way he would talk and he would act and the way he would laugh. The guy nailed, his laugh really well.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I was like, wow, that's freaking crazy.
Pretty good.
Let me see.
I really like the Penguin too. The one that was, the one out of everything, I think the one that I was a little disappointed was the Joker, only because the Joker was and continues to be one of my favorite characters. So I like really nitpicked at the Joker for me as a personal level, but otherwise, the music was great. I just loved it. Even the jokes were just, I really loved it.
Oh yeah, they did something that were ridiculous. It was straight out of fucking 1966. Batman.
Yeah, and you know what? It was very dated, so like, they really tried to keep it original, like, how the show was. So nothing was really like modernized at all. So I really appreciate that about this. I mean, it's sort of like going back in time.
What do you call a sleeping bull? Answer, a bulldozer.
And he would do that in the show. Answer! Like, he wouldn't give you time to
answer. He would just answer it.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. So, if you guys get a chance, like, I don't know if it'll be available on Redbox. Like, if you don't want to purchase it, maybe you want to watch it on Redbox. Maybe it'll be available there. But we really enjoyed this movie. And a shout out to Fathom for freaking scheduling this on the big screen, because I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, actually, Fathom does a lot of great screenings. Like, they throw a lot of old movies back on the theater, which is really, really cool. I think they have, like, they're doing a lot of Halloween ones, too.
Mm-hmm. The Shining. What else are they doing?
I forgot what else we saw.
You know, The Shining was, like, my pinnacle.
I was just like,
The Shining. And they do a lot of opera, too.
They do. They do a lot of
I think they're doing, Mr. Cumberbatch's Hamlet, representation of Hamlet. So I'm like really excited about that. They're doing Swan Lake.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
So I mean, Fathom, really look it up. I just this is my first Fathom event, and I gotta say, I'm such a fan now that I want to like download their app on my phone.
Yeah.
Because I really want to be part of all these Fathom events. They're, I mean, it's such a,
especially because they throw a little bit like extra stuff in like that.
Oh, really, absolutely. Cool. Yeah, the little like Geeked Out, I really enjoyed. And then the little kind of like, what is it called? Kind of a documentary-esque kind of thing on the end. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. So, support Fathom events.
I'm sure that stuff will be on the Blu-ray or DVD or whatever.
Yeah, it probably will. But I don't know if the, Geeking Out would be on the DVD, would it?
I don't know. It'd be like a featurette or something.
The only thing I have against that whole Geeking Out thing is, why did they have to put the hot girl in there? Like, why couldn't she be an average girl?
She's part of DC.
Oh, really?
She does,
I stand corrected, guys.
She does her and another guy. The other guy was in it. But she's a host of, like, their YouTube stuff.
Okay.
And their Instagram and all that stuff.
Yeah. I retract my statement.
She's not. Apologize.
She's not super hot. Well, to me, she looked pretty hot. And I was just like...
You put her with the two fat guys.
It's because alongside the two robust fellows. The other fellow was the guy who was... Blumberg on TV's Felicity, and he was also the cop in Heroes, who turned out to be a bad guy in the Heroes Reborn. So, yes. Anyway, hopefully you guys will pick that up, or at least, I don't know, have a movie night. Pick it up, have a movie night, show your kids what you used to watch when you were a kid.
If you watched it.
If you watch, I'm sure you guys watched it. If you're listening to this, you've watched it. Definitely. In other news, guys, Jessica Jones.
In other news.
Back to you, Ivan.
I already went.
Jessica Jones, number one, has returned in a comic book form, after a decade. Originally, Jessica Jones was the character that was introduced to the Marvel Max title, the for mature readers title, through Marvel was, Alias was how she was introduced. Her comic book was, kind of,
And now the TV show Alias was not Jessica Jones.
So, yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Am I twisting it? Okay. So Alias has nothing to do, the TV show Alias with, Jennifer Gardner has nothing to do with Alias, the comic book from Marvel Max. Which was how we introduced Jessica Jones, who Jessica Jones then becomes the title sequence of a Netflix series.
Yeah.
Okay. And now the new comic book.
I think if you go look for Alias, it might be Jessica Jones Alias now. It won't be straight up Alias.
Okay, got it.
Like where they reprinted it and it's Jessica Jones Alias or something like that.
No. The new print, the new storyline that they've just come out, it actually just came out, issue number one. It was October 5th, 2016. And the number one, it's called Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. And all the old team has come back to reprise their, what is it called? Their role that had started in Alias back 10 years ago through the Marvel Max titles. So it's really exciting. Brian Michael Bendis is the writer, and we have the cover art done by, of course, David Mack. So I'm excited. I haven't picked up number one yet, but I actually want to, because I didn't pick up the Alias as an individual comic book, although I did read it as an individual comic book form, and I looked for it every month. Because I worked at a comic book distributor who shall remain unnamed, but there's only one, so you know who you are. I read it in the individual comic book form, but I never collected them. So now I feel like, now that I'm have a job.
I'm surprised you didn't.
I know, right? Collect
it with David Mack doing covers and stuff.
Exactly. I can't believe
I
didn't.
And I'm surprised
either.
You don't collect more David Mack covers. He does a lot of covers nowadays.
He does, he does Fight Club. He did,
He does a lot, especially the ones where he does for Marvel and stuff like that. They're really, those are kind of more rarish.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Kind of a variant cover kind of thing.
Yeah.
So this time around, I think I am going to start collecting the comic books in individual comic book form. I'm not sure if this is going to be a long running, story or series, or if it's just going to be like maybe 1 to 10, 1 to 12, 1 to 7. So I'm going to go pick it up, and then I'll let you guys know on the next podcast. Also, I'm greatly looking forward to the Defenders team up. So that's actually going to be a mini series from Netflix, including Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, and Iron Fist. Yeah. So keep that in the horizon.
Yeah, because they're like Defenders, Heroes for Hire, that whole stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
It's going to be good. It's going to be like the Avengers movie for Netflix.
Right. But and for mature readers, yeah. Of course. Exactly. So I'm excited. Oh, my God. I'm really excited. It is a golden time for comics out there. So I'm very excited. We still
have lots of years for comic books.
Oh, yeah. Movies, there's shows. A bunch of content out there. What about Punisher? I mean, The Punisher, have you been keeping up on the show? I haven't started it yet. I think Punisher. I'm going to binge.
Not,
not The Punisher, I'm sorry. Preacher.
No, I haven't. I don't know where to watch it.
Oh, talking about I don't know where to watch it. What about Hulu and what about the WB? We cannot watch anything from the WB on Hulu now. They just stripped it all out. I don't know what's going on. I can't catch up on my Arrow, which I'm only doing for posterity because I feel like a closeness to the character, to Mr. Amell. But, I mean, I was almost out the last season, but I wanted to see what happened. But when I turned on my Hulu, it's not there. It's not there, guys. Mm-mm. We have to now log into the WB website and their own app in order to see their WB shows, which I think sucks because
TV needs to get on this fucking digital thing already, this app thing, mm-hmm. and have all your shows available now. Every single episode, every season, charge. I will fucking pay the $9.99 a month you want, the $8.99, whatever you fucking want, I will pay. Just make that shit available for me.
Exactly.
I want to go back and see Flash because I missed the last season and I don't want to jump into the Flashpoint stuff. That's going on now because
God, I haven't even watched the Flash yet because of this I don't fucking know. Thing going on with Hulu.
So yeah, I tried to go back and watch it, and it's like you can't because it's not fucking available. And then on the CW app, you used to have the whole season, but now it's like the past
episode. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
that's
I'm like,
it.
What the fuck?
Until Netflix is able to stream the full season, but I'm not willing to wait.
That starts until, like, the season's over and the new season starts.
Exactly.
That's what sucks. It's like, come on. All these fucking networks need to release your fucking apps and make everything available. HBO has it. It's like, come on.
Thank you. That's
another
thing. HBO does it, and, you know, it fucking works perfectly.
It's bank. Because people don't want to pay for HBO when you're already paying $100 in cable.
Right.
But if you're making all your money back when everybody you're charging people $9.99, $10.99... to fucking get it. I'll pay $10 a month for fucking HBO. Mm-hmm. Especially when Game of Thrones is on or any other
right?
show I wanted to
watch.
Oh
my God, yes.
And it's like, it sucks when it's not available. And in this time of, what am I trying to say? Digital era where mm-hmm. TV is now, it's like everybody watches shit online now. It's
absolutely.
Because we ain't got time because we got to work. So right? We got to watch it at like midnight.
And then we binge. Uh-huh. So it's not like we're not watching it. I mean, if anything, we watch too much of it.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I haven't watched Powers, the second season, because I'm not able to fucking find it.
I want to watch Preacher, but I can't find it. I want to watch fucking Outcast, but I can't find it. Because Outcast is another comic book show. Mm-hmm. But I can't find it. That's why we start doing things illegally, because
right?
you don't put it out there. I'll gladly pay for some HD motherfucking shit for $8.99.
Right.
Some high definition stuff. I will fucking pay. Just make it available.
Right. I mean, you know how hard it's going to be for me to go to TJ and buy it off the bootlegger?
Right.
Oh, my God. It's going to be the worst quality ever, but I'll do it.
It's like we pay for Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything's fucking available. If CW were to do that with all their programming, a fucking app, make it available on your Blu-ray players, your fucking mm-hmm. thing, all your fucking shows are available, I'd fucking do it.
Exactly.
It's like I need to be able, now at times I need TV to be available when I need it to be available.
Exactly. I get home from work early. I want to be able to freaking, you know, watch my shows all in one sitting. Like the one from Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, just stream it on a Thursday because that's that happens to be the day I'm home 3 hours early or whatever. Or maybe I have a day off like today. Like I want to be able to like stream something that I watch with consistency and be able to like catch up on my shows. But yeah, it's really disappointing.
You guys are making it impossible for us.
Actually, the only pleasant surprise I've had so far is watching the whole season of Supergirl on Netflix. Mm. It became available. I actually had lost hope on watching and catching up on Supergirl until I saw it on my next Netflix feed.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and I actually really love the show.
I heard it's good.
I really loved it.
I watched the first episode only. And I was surprised that I was like, okay, I'll keep watching, but I didn't because
where do you find it? Right, where do you find it? Yep, exactly. I agree. That's actually what happened to me. I think I watched the first show and then it just disappeared for me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, and then I try to watch it through. Oh, this is what happened. I have Amazon Prime and I streamed the first pilot episode and I was like, this is pretty good. I'm willing to watch it, but then you had to buy the season on Amazon Prime. It wasn't streaming freely except for the first episode for just a small period of time. And so I was really disappointed. So I thought, I'm never going to watch this show.
Yeah.
And then finally, I see it on my Netflix stream. And then I'm like, oh, shit. And I streamed the whole thing. And it was, I really loved it. I think it has more in common with The Flash than it does with The Arrow kind of.
Yeah, because they're doing more crossovers with Flash.
I
heard that Arrow and Supergirl weren't going to have any crossovers.
No, I didn't see one either. And they actually, you know how like the Flash has the Earth 2 and Earth 3 kind of like storyline going on? That's actually how they played in the Supergirl storyline.
And I'm interested because they have Superman on it now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, I want to see what they do with a TV Superman, you know?
This second season, which I'm dying to watch. Is where they're gonna have the Superman.
Yeah. He's been on, like, I think the last episode he was on.
Yeah, but it's sort of, kind of a shadow and, you know, like, but this time there's actually gonna be interaction. I mean, because we have cell phones and stuff, you see text and stuff, but you haven't seen that, like, personal kind of, like, how he's gonna be.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't want to jump into it now because I don't know what the fuck happened in the first season.
Oh,
and there's like Martian Manhunters on there.
Oh my god, that was like my, I swear to god, I teared up when I saw the Martian Manhunter. I teared up.
They showed like the Martian Wars and stuff.
Yes, it was really great. It was, and you know what, with all this technology and all this great, CGI and special effects out there, it was a really smooth transition into it, and even the Martian Manhunter. I mean, I'm in love with the show. I mean, I really am. I really like it. I think it's because it's happening now. It's a little step up. It's like two steps above, Arrow, and like, it's like a step up from The Flash.
Right.
So
there you go. So come on, fucking TV networks. Make this shit available.
Make it happen, guys.
Cut away from Time Warner and all those people that are charging up the ass for all these fucking things, and make your own fucking app and keep all the money.
Right, exactly. I don't know, maybe.
Which I see it coming. I see it coming, but it needs to be here now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm ready.
Cause they're
I'm
all ready. Like, look at HBO. HBO fucking did their own HBO Now thing, and it's like, come on. HBO did it. Everybody else needs to do it.
Exactly. I agree.
Just make all your fucking programming available. Let's do it.
Exactly.
Let's do it.
Do it, man.
Do it, man.
Do it for the fans.
Do it.
Let's do it for Johnny.
Do it.
All right, guys. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode. Would you like to add anything?
No. Just visit us on www.brokentoothstudios.com.
Yes. Listen to more of Ivan on the John and Ivan Show. They're on a break right now, but if you want to hear them on iTunes.
No, we're not on a break.
You're not on break?
No.
I thought you guys were on break.
No.
Didn't you announce it last episode?
No, I said the John and Ivan Show was coming to an end.
No, I know, but you're going to take a break before the revamping, right?
Oh, no, not really. We're still going to record. We got more episodes coming.
Oh, cool.
We're just starting the new year. It'll be a new show. because mm-hmm. we got more people on board now.
Nice.
I don't know who listens to the fucking show, but
I listen to the show.
We had Miss Thang on there, and he
Miss Thang is awesome.
Miss Thang, he will be a permanent staple of the show now.
I like Miss Thang. Yeah.
So we just decided to, you know, it's not just John and Ivan anymore. So let's
maybe
do
not
something.
John anymore.
John still do it because we record on Saturdays. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's like kind of the easiest day for everybody. But yeah, it's not just John and Ivan anymore, and we want to include everybody else and make sure everybody feels part of the show.
Nice.
So it's gonna be a new thing. So I'm excited.
Awesomeness.
Cool.
Well, I like the show. I like the show.
And it's in case you're wondering, it's I don't know. We don't really have like a thing of what we talk about. It's just life thing. Whatever we feel like talking about, we don't come in prepared. It's just, let's just talk, guys. It's like, let's just talk.
No, whatever. I like it. I enjoy
what's
it.
What's on your mind?
The banter is.
Well, once in a while we have, this is what we're going to talk about, but for the most time, it kind of goes on its own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I enjoy it. It makes me laugh sometimes.
I ask a question and goes from there. And that's
yeah.
It.
Yeah. So, Broken Tooth Studios on Facebook, and also you can find the John and Ivan Show, which is changing. It's morphing to something else. And you have Ivan TV, where you can
on
YouTube, where you can find more adventures of Ivan, where he goes out and explores the world, which I enjoy. For me, you can find me on Facebook. Of course, Main Condition Comic Connoisseurs. And I also have another podcast called We Were Promised Crowns. And that's it.
Yeah. As far as most of the things we do, except for We Were Promised Crowns, everything's on, brokentoothstudios.com.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Links to everything there.
Yeah. So, or sometimes, you know, we comment amongst each other. Mm-hmm. So just look out for that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening. We have been your hosts. I am Sarah.
I'm Ivan.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
See you later. This feels good right here.